Hear again the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The prophet Jeremiah is rather unique among the prophets. You see, the thing about most of the prophets in the Bible, if you look from Isaiah to Malachi, most of those prophets, they preach about an impending judgment that they don't live through. They preach about against the breaking chiefly of the first table of the law, and also against the breaking of the second table of the law among Israel and Judah, the people of God, when right before there is an impending disaster that is about to take place because of their sin. Most of the prophets, they don't live to see that judgment. The Lord takes them before the wrath comes. Jeremiah, however, is unique in that he lives through the judgment of God that he proclaims. This has led many to call Jeremiah the weeping prophet, because Jeremiah is one who lives through dark days. The one who sees the wrath of God and also the love and grace and mercy of God. Jeremiah is called as a prophet during the time of Josiah. You might remember Josiah is one of the good kings of Israel. We talked a lot about him during our Advent midweeks, looking through the prophet Zephaniah. But Josiah is one of the good kings. He reforms Jerusalem. He restores worship in the temple. He does a lot of good things, but it's too little, too late. The people have already been taught idolatry to such a degree that even the reforms that take place in Josiah's day are not enough to turn the fate of Judah. And so Jeremiah, like Zephaniah, is prophesying and speaking about the judgment of God that is about to take place because of widespread apostasy in the southern kingdom of Judah. A couple generations earlier, Israel, the northern kingdom, had been judged. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday. The prophet Amos was one who prophesied about that judgment to come. But today again, we're looking at Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is preaching chiefly against the first table of the law. The commandment against having other gods, against misusing the name of God, and about forsaking the rest that God gives through his word and sacraments, the third commandment. Now, he spends a lot of time, especially here, on the first commandment aimed at the people generally. You might say the congregation. Because what the people have done is gone after other gods. They have worshipped that which is the creation, idols made of stone and metal, instead of worshiping the one true God who made them. And their leaders, the civil leaders and the religious leaders, the kings, the priests, the prophets, well, they have committed this sin. They have trusted in foreign powers, in Syria and Egypt, so on and so forth. They have also trusted in these idols rather than trusting in the one true God. But one of the thing that really solidifies the judgment of these leaders is the fact that they have taught falsely. Rather than properly proclaiming the law and the gospel, rather than calling people to repent of their sins, calling the people to repentance for trusting in idols, the prophets spoke peace. Not a peace that is achieved through the crucifixion of Jesus. Not a peace that is achieved through the reconciliation of sacrifice that God gives. Not a reconciliation on account of the wounds of our Lord, but a reconciliation in word and not in deed. The kings, the prophets, and the priests had sinned by doing this, by breaking the second commandment, by teaching what they ought not to have taught, and by neglecting to teach what they were supposed to teach. So Jeremiah has spent quite a long time preaching about idolatry, and now he turns to teaching and preaching against the leaders in this 23rd chapter of his book. In the previous chapter, he had preached against the kings of Judah and against Israel. And so this is how we see here in this section, when he preaches against the shepherds, we're not just thinking the religious leaders, we're also thinking the civil leaders, the kings, as well as the priests and the prophets. And he has quite a lot to say about this. He has a judgment. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Whenever we see that word woe, or sometimes it's alas, depending on your Bible translation, that's always a pretty heavy word in the Bible, in the prophets. We don't really, you know, it's kind of a, maybe an overused or an unfamiliar word, depending on, you know, what you read. But in the Hebrew Bible, it's a very serious thing. It's what begins what's called a woe oracle. That is a pronouncement of God's wrath and judgment. One of my professors in seminary said it this way. He says, whenever someone has a woe pronounced in them, it's telling them to go play in traffic because that's safer than what's about to happen to them. See, the judgment that Jeremiah pronounces is against the leaders of the people of Judah. And why? It's because they have scattered the flock. They've scattered the flock. But what does God do? How does God fix this problem? Well, of course, as you know, in the history of Israel, where do we see this first taking place? It takes place with Solomon's idolatry that leads to the split between the northern and southern kingdoms. But we're also talking bigger things, because the idolatry of the kings leads to Israel being taken, and when Assyria conquers Israel, they split the people up and they take them all to their separate places all throughout the kingdom of Assyria. Babylon will likewise, when they conquer, they will take the Judahites, and they will again take them into captivity. There's this great confusion and scattering of the people because of the sins of the leaders. But what does God say? He makes a promise to the people of God. And it is a promise that you and I are now partaking in and enjoying, dear Christians. He says this, verse 3. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them. And I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will set shepherds over them who will care for them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Here we see this promise that God says, I will fix this. I will gather the sheep. I will bring them together into the people of God. I will then set shepherds over them and will care for them. We see this in what Jesus does in our gospel lesson. He sees these people that are sheep without a shepherd. And he feeds them. He has compassion on them and sees to their provision. And he does this by sending the apostles with bread and fish. We'll talk a little bit more about that in future weeks. We're going to spend some time here on this miracle in the next several weeks of the lectionary. So I'm going to get back to Jeremiah, but I want to make that point there. But then this is what Jeremiah concludes here, saying, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." In the time of Jeremiah, during his tenure, if you will, as prophet, one of the sons of David, Zedekiah, he's the last king of Judah. Well, when Babylon shows up to finally take out Jerusalem, he takes Zedekiah, he takes him out of the city, he takes his two sons, and he slaughters his two sons. And then he puts out Zedekiah's eyes and leads him into captivity. This is a rather brutal and gruesome event. And the reason I'm telling you about it is because of how the people might have heard this. Because Zedekiah's name is "The Lord is our righteousness." Zedek, which is righteousness, and Yah, which is Yahweh, the first part of Yahweh's name. Whenever you see names like that in the Bible, think this is probably some kind of compound of a word and then Yahweh's name, right? Like Elijah, Yahweh is my God. Zedekiah, Yahweh is my righteousness. This is the line of David being cut off decisively. This king who was of the line of Judah reigns and he is cut off. So it's done, right? There's no more kings of Judah. There's no one to sit on the throne who is a son of David. Except if you go back a generation or so, it kind of branches out. As Jeff Smith put it, Jesus is kind of a sucker that pops out of the branch, or out of the shoot, the stump of the tree of Jesse. Because the line is cut off with Zedekiah, but it goes back a generation to Jehoiachin. I always get those mixed up. Kim and Shim. excuse me. But it goes back a generation, and that's where the genealogy of Christ that we read in Matthew's gospel picks up. It's this little branch. If you've ever walked in an orchard, you've probably seen these. When they cut down a tree or they limb a tree, you get little suckers, little shoots that pop out that eventually, if you let them, want to form a new tree. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus is the one who sprouts from the side. The line of Judah was cut off because of the sin, because of Zedekiah's rebellion against God and against the prophet. And yet God still worked salvation for his people. God still decided to complete the redemption that he had promised to achieve. And he did this through Jesus, who is this righteous branch of David, who reigns as your king, and who, as king, laid down his life so that he might become your righteousness, so that we who were sinful, those who have inherited the original sin of Adam and Eve, who are unclean, unrighteous in and of ourselves, might have his righteousness given to us. That might have his perfect holiness, his active and passive obedience to God's law be credited to us for our account. So that we who have gone astray might be gathered back together into the fold, the true Israel by faith, those who have been marked with him, with his name. The Lord is our righteousness, dear Christians. Jesus Christ, his righteousness is yours. And it is yours through the preaching of the word, through the fact that he has told you that he has accomplished this, that it is finished, that he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And your sins are paid for. His resurrection is the proof that the sacrifice was accepted, that all of your sins have been credited to him, And all of his righteousness has been credited to you. So God looks at you and sees one who is pure and clean, one who is welcomed into his presence, and who looks forward to dwelling with him forever in eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.